What is the miracle of Hanukkah? The ordinary response is, Hanukkah is about a miracle that took place when the Jewish people fought against the Syrians who had invaded Israel, invaded Jerusalem, and desecrated our temple in Jerusalem. Then they dedicated the temple not to the God of Israel, but to Zeus, the chief of the Greek gods, and unclean animals like pigs were sacrificed there. The Syrians forbid the Jewish people from practicing our religion. They intended to wipe out the faith of the chosen people. But the Maccabees and others courageously resisted the Syrians and fought them. And after 3 years of fighting, they captured Jerusalem, cleansed the temple, lit the golden menorah that gave light inside the temple. But there wasn't enough oil for the menorah. But a great miracle occurred, and the oil that was enough for one day miraculously burned for 8 days until more oil could be obtained. And that's the miracle of Hanukkah. Well, there were Hanukkah miracles, but that is not the miracle of Hanukkah. The legend of the oil miraculously burning for 8 days is not found in any of the original accounts, like 1 Maccabees, and most likely never, ever took place. The real miracle of Hanukkah is that a small number of the chosen people, supernaturally empowered by God, were able to overcome vastly superior Syrian armies. The righteous few overcame the godless many. The weak, who were loyal to the true God, overcame those who were much stronger than they were. The faithful remnant of Israel won miraculous victory after miraculous victory, sometimes facing forces that were 15 times bigger than they were, until the Syrians were defeated. Jerusalem was captured, the temple was cleansed, and dedicated for the worship of the one true God, who alone can rescue human beings from the real and destructive forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell. From the rededicated temple in Jerusalem, the presence of the Creator and the truths of the God who alone can save mankind were once again clearly revealed to Israel and to the nations of the world. Hanukkah is not about a miracle of oil being multiplied. Hanukkah is about the supernatural, amazing victories that God gave the Jewish people over the Syrians and the subsequent dedication of the temple in Jerusalem. The temple in Jerusalem was the most important place on planet Earth. You must understand that. The temple was that very special, unique place, which is what true Judaism is all about. It's not the man-made Judaism of today that substitutes synagogue for the temple in Jerusalem, rabbis for the Kohanim, the Jewish priests who descended from Aaron, the brother of Moses, and human efforts that are substituted for the blood of the sacrifices that were killed at the temple. The temple was the most important place on earth. The temple was that most special place where the Creator of the universe revealed his presence on this planet in the most special way, where the Kavod Adonai, the glorious presence of the Lord, and the Shekhinah, the dwelling presence of God, these special manifestations of God were revealed most powerfully on this planet. The temple reminds us that the God of Israel is not the kind of being who wants to be distant from his creation and from his creatures. He is the kind of supreme being who wants to be close to his creatures and teach us and make atonement possible for us so that we can get close to him and enter his holy house and live with him forever. The temple reminds us that the God of Israel is not the kind of being who wants to be distant from his creation, but very close to his creation, living among us. We needed the temple because this fallen world is under the authority of the evil one. The satanic adversary is the god of this world. When Adam and Eve fell and joined the rebellion of the fallen angels, they forfeited dominion of this world. They gave it over to the satanic adversary and his demonic assistants. The temple in Jerusalem was like a little beachhead on the enemy shore that the Lord had captured and was in control of. So the temple, in a sense, can be thought of as the beginning of God's invasion of planet Earth, his recapturing of planet Earth to bring it back under his control. The temple enabled this infinitely holy God, who is Kadosh, 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 so holy that he cannot be seen by the eyes of fallen man. The temple enabled this holy God to live among sinful, fallen human beings, but only in a limited way. The temple was that unique place where the principles of sin, sacrifice, atonement, reconciliation with God were most clearly seen in a very dark, confused, chaotic world. The temple was the place where bulls, goats, lambs, rams, pigeons were killed. Their blood was spilled, gathered, sprinkled on a bronze altar by Jewish priests, by the sons of Aaron, the brother of Moses, to make a temporary and limited atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. The temple was the most important place on earth. But no matter how important the temple was, it was imperfect. It was built by flawed human hands, which means that it had some imperfections. In fact, the Torah says that the temple itself needed atonement once a year. Once a year, the temple itself was sprinkled with blood and had to be cleansed. The temple was imperfect. It was limited. Humanity needed a greater temple, a perfect temple that would be able to save us completely, perfectly, eternally. But we didn't need another building made of gold and silver and wood and stone. This greater temple that we needed came in the form of a human being, a perfect human being made in the image of God, a holy man, a dedicated man in whom God could live and dwell, be a temple, and provide a greater atonement for humanity. Not a temporary atonement, like the provided by the blood of bulls and goats, lambs, rams, and pigeons, but a perfect atonement, a complete atonement, an eternal atonement, based on the infinitely precious blood of the perfect man, who's also the Son of God. Messiah Yeshua is that greater temple, that place where God lives and dwells and reveals himself most clearly to fallen human beings. Yeshua is that greater temple that provides complete atonement, everlasting atonement, perfect reconciliation with God. Yeshua is that greater temple where the truths about God and the principles of atonement, sin, sacrifice, atonement, are most clearly seen. The Bible tells us that the Son of God, who lived with God the Father from all eternity, came on a great mission to planet Earth. The one who was rightly, properly called Emmanuel, which means God with us, became incarnate, which means he took on a human body. The eternal Son of God took on a human body, became flesh, and lived among us. In this child who was born to us, in this son who was given to us, the fullness of God lived in human form. This wonderful counselor, this mighty God, this father of eternity, this prince of peace, became a child given to us. Through the incarnation, Yeshua became this greater temple. That's why he could tell a group of Jewish leaders, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Not referring to the temple of stone and wood, but referring to himself, his body, his life, his death, his resurrection. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Unlike every other human being who has ever lived, the Messiah lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And when this perfect man died, something marvelous happened to the temple in Jerusalem. The veil to the most holy place was supernaturally torn from top to bottom. God is teaching us through this that because of Messiah's perfect life and sacrificial death, the dwelling presence of God, remember God revealed himself and lived most powerfully in the most holy place in the temple, the dwelling presence of God was now being opened and made available to all humanity, not just to the high priest of Israel, who alone before this was the only one who was able to enter into the most holy place. God is now welcoming everyone, Jewish people and the people from the nations, into his loving, welcoming, eternal presence. All anyone has to do is believe that Yeshua is the Messiah and the risen Lord, and transfer their loyalties to him and to his Father, and that person will be welcomed into God's home, into God's eternal presence, and live with the Father and the Son and the Spirit forever and ever. Then, 50 days after Messiah died, rose from the dead, he ascended to the right hand of the Father and poured out the Spirit that the Father and the Son share onto his first Messianic Jewish disciples. And they became the temple of God, the place where God lives and reveals himself to humanity and teaches us and saves us. Rabbi Paul asked the community at Corinth, do you not know that you are a temple of God? Do you not know that the Spirit of God, God's presence, lives in you? In his second letter to that same community of Messianic Jews and Christians, Rabbi Paul proclaims, "We are the temple of the living God." We are now. We've become the temple of the living God. Just as God said, "I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They will be my people." This is amazing. This is fantastic. This is incredible. The Father and the Son, by means of the Spirit the Father and the Son share, have the closest kind of relationship with human beings, with Christians and Messianic Jews. The Father and the Son have taken up residence in us. They live in us and walk among us. Fallen human beings, once spiritually dead because of our trespasses and sins and alienated from God and headed to hell, not heaven, to death, not life, we become part of an eternal fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Now, in order for any of God's temples to accomplish the Lord's purposes, that temple needs to be dedicated. It needs to be dedicated to the true God. It cannot be used to serve other gods. And that temple needs to be pure and holy and not contaminated by anything dirty or unholy or impure. The temple in Jerusalem was dedicated to God by the blood of animals. That dedication was maintained by following the teachings contained in God's word about the way the temple was to function. Messiah is the greater temple, and he dedicated himself to God. Messiah stated, "I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me," referring to God as Father. "I do not seek my own will, what I want. I seek the will of him who sent me." I am completely dedicated to serving God. I am dedicated to fulfill not what I want, but to fulfill the word of God, the will of God. Messiah, that greater temple, was dedicated to God, and he maintained his dedication by setting himself apart from anything that was unholy, impure, anything that violated God's commands. He said, "I sanctify myself. I set myself apart from anything impure. I purposely keep myself holy. I sanctify myself." Messiah knew that dedicated people must be sanctified people. And sanctified people must live according to the truth. And God's word is truth. And so Messiah maintained his dedication by familiarizing himself with the word of God, and then by living according to the word of God. Messiah maintained his dedication by talking to God constantly, continually, all the time. And he would continually listen to the voice of his Father talking to him. And then what he heard his Father saying, he carried out. He did. Messiah maintained his dedication by talking to God and hearing from God. Messiah maintained his dedication by staying focused on his mission, his task. "My food," he said, My food, that which is vitally important to me, that which keeps me alive, that which sustains me, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. He has a work for me. He has a mission. He has a task. My food is to do the will of God and to accomplish his mission, his work. Messiah allowed nothing to deter him from his mission, his work of saving human beings from the consequences of the fall. Messiah is that greater temple, that perfect temple. And he shows us how Christians and Messianic Jews, we who are now part of the temple of God, how we can dedicate ourselves to God and maintain our dedication. Like Messiah, we consciously, purposely make a commitment to dedicate ourselves to God. Have you ever said to God, Lord, I am dedicating my life to you, to your service, to fulfill your will? Have you ever done that? Given yourself to God as a dedicating yourself to God like a living sacrifice? If you haven't, you should. Then, after we make that initial commitment of dedication, we maintain that dedication. We maintain that dedication by sanctifying ourselves, keeping ourselves apart from anything that is unholy, impure, unclean. We maintain our dedication by familiarizing ourselves with the Word of God, like Messiah did. We try to think about God's Word throughout the day and apply its teachings to each situation we encounter. We maintain our dedication by talking to God throughout the day and trying to hear Him talking to us through that still, small voice by which He's able to communicate to us. We discipline ourselves to turn our minds over to God throughout the day. We try to have a running conversation with the Creator. We thank Him for the interesting things that He brings to our attention. We thank Him for the good things that He has done, is doing, and will do. We praise Him for who He is and His amazing attributes. We pray for ourselves and for others. We pray for our brothers and sisters around the world who are part of Messiah's community. We pray for the growth of Messiah's community, the purity of Messiah's community, that it stays focused on Messiah, that Messiah is formed at the core of who we are. We pray for the salvation of the Jewish community, for our friends, for our family, for the world. We maintain our dedication by talking to God and trying to hear Him talking to us. We maintain our dedication by realizing that Messiah has now entrusted His work, His mission of evangelism and teaching and good deeds to us. So we are to have a sense of divine purpose, of mission. We focus our priorities on witnessing to those outside the community of salvation and building the community of salvation up from within. We are to be dedicated and maintain our dedication. And if we fail in our dedication, if our temple becomes unclean, impure, we admit our failures, we confess our sins, we turn back to God with sorrow, repentance, and ask Him to forgive us, and we have His marvelous promise. If we confess our sins, He's faithful, He is righteous, He is just, He will forgive our sins, and purify us from everything that we have done wrong. What an amazing promise. Then we ask him to fill us with the oil of his Spirit, fill us up again, and fill us with light. Then we are clean and dedicated to God once again. Hanukkah is not about a mythical miracle of oil being multiplied, a legend that developed generations after the original Hanukkah events. Hanukkah is about the dedication of the temple in Jerusalem, the most important place on earth, and the dedication of Yeshua, the greater temple, and about our dedication as the temple of the living God. Messiah celebrated Hanukkah, this holiday of dedication. He honored the dedication of the Maccabees and the supernatural victories they experienced and the subsequent dedication of the temple. And we should be inspired by the dedication of the Maccabees and honor their miraculous victories and the dedication of the temple. And now that Emmanuel has come, God with us, we can learn from his perfect dedication and get close to him and get empowered by him so that we can be dedicated to the living God. And that's really what Hanukkah is all about. Amen.